Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thanks so much for being there. We are honored to be here and learn from God's Word together. This book is truly amazing. No other book has the life of God in its pages like the Bible. It is always healthy for us to spend time reading it and learning from it. And our prayer is you will be blessed during our time together, and you will be encouraged in your walk with God. Today's lesson is a bit unique because it is the first in a series of three lessons. Normally, each lesson is covered in one program. Not today. Today's lesson is the first of three. So if you want to catch them all, you will also have to listen the next 2 weeks. If you miss one, no worries. You can always go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to the one you missed. The lesson title is The Paradox of Ministry, and it's taken from 2 Corinthians 6. Turn there if you can, and let's give our attention to J. Mark as he begins this teaching.
What do you think about this statement? The only constant in life is change. Is that true? Has that been your experience? We call this statement a paradox. A paradox is a statement that seems contradictory or opposed to common sense and yet is often true. In the example I mentioned, we have the words constant and change. We often see those words as opposite, and yet we must admit the statement itself is true. Here's another example of a very relevant paradox to our day. Social media disconnects us from each other. The word social implies that media is bringing people together. But scientific studies and our own experience show us the opposite. Social media disconnects us from genuine relationships. Most of us know what it's like to sit in a group or at a family gathering or in someone's living room, and most of the people who are present are looking at their phones instead of talking to each other. You know, even the Bible contains paradoxes. One that immediately comes to my mind is in Matthew chapter 20. Here, the mother of James and John asked Jesus if her boys could sit on either side of him in his kingdom. And Jesus' answer reveals the paradox. Here's what he said: "Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant." Now, in our minds, great and servant are opposites, and we know which one we prefer. So, you see, there are many paradoxes in Scripture, but you get the idea. In our continuing study of 2 Corinthians, Paul discusses what I'm calling the paradox of ministry. At first, you may not be able to see it, but as we examine the Scripture together, I believe it will become clear. If you have your Bible, our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 10. But before we read that, it's appropriate to give a refresher on the background of the situation Paul is speaking about. Acts chapter 18 records Paul's initial efforts in planting the church in Corinth, and we learn that he spent a year and a half there. After he moved on from there, several groups or factions formed around various leaders, and they began quarreling among themselves. Paul wrote a letter to them to clear up some of those controversies, but that first letter didn't do the job, and the situation only got worse. In previous studies from 2 Corinthians, we learned about Paul's deep love for the Corinthian believers. He had poured 18-plus months of his life into this congregation and developed many close relationships with the people there. And yet there were those there who accused him of being a false teacher, an evangelist for hire, and other ridiculous charges. So because of this, we noted that the last chapters we've studied in this letter are Paul's defense of his apostolic ministry. Our text today is the concluding section of that defense. Someone has said, "It isn't unusual for the preacher to be the most loved man and the most hated man in his community. To the ones who hear him and believe what he teaches, he's a friend, a spiritual father, a mentor. But to those who don't believe him, he's the voice of irritation and conviction. He's a troublemaker, someone who is accused of being bigoted and hateful because he proclaims God's unchanging word." You know, this attitude isn't surprising because the faithful pastor-teacher represents Jesus Christ. And you and I know how the people around Jesus treated him when he was here. No person was ever more loved or more hated than Jesus, and he warned us that we can expect the same intensity of feeling toward us as his followers. So as we reflect on the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we face this paradox of ministry. In our study just prior to this one, we discussed the ministry of reconciliation entrusted to us as followers of Christ. We are called to be his ambassadors. That gives us the responsibility to communicate his message, or the gospel, to the world. And the gospel is the good news, but not everyone sees it as good news. So those who hear us will be divided into two categories, those who believe the gospel and those who don't. We will experience the love of some and the hatred of others. This is the paradox of ministry. Now, let's read the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1-10, and then we'll further discuss this paradox. Here is the word of God. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." From this text, Paul lists four perspectives that help us understand the paradox of ministry. We will look at the first one today. The first perspective to help us understand the paradox of ministry is the perspective of privilege. Regardless of how you serve in Christ's kingdom, whether you're a pastor, teacher, or a janitor, or a homemaker, a farmer, or whatever, do you count it a privilege to be an ambassador for Christ? In some ways, being in the role of a pastor-teacher can multiply this paradox. But can you see the paradoxical nature of your position in this text? In the latter verses that I read, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of disappointment, there's a lot of hostility, and there's a lot of accusation. Much of it is false, but it's there. But then there's also tremendous joy and blessing here as well. So if you and I don't understand the great privilege of ministry, we can be overcome by all the negativity that goes with it. Notice how Paul begins this text. He says, "We are co-workers with him," that is, co-workers with Christ. You and I need to take some time to meditate on what that means, co-workers with Christ. Because if we miss the significance of that, we'll miss the most critical perspective. Do you understand the dignity of your work? All work done by Christians, except what the Scriptures prohibit, has eternal value. You and I cooperate with the sovereign God, the Creator, and the Sustainer of everything. Do we truly appreciate that the way we should? I am sure that I don't. I need to grasp that truth more deeply. Now, if we understood that better, wouldn't that change our perspective about our work? You know, in my experience, I'm like James and John. I want the seat of power next to Jesus. I'm often more concerned about what I can get than what I can give. Do you find it that way for yourself too? The cause of Christ suffers because we don't understand the tremendous privilege it is to be co-workers with Him. Sometimes we envy people who have privileged positions in life. Maybe they're physically beautiful or handsome. Maybe they're extraordinarily well-educated, or maybe they're gifted in a particular area. Or perhaps they're in a position where our friendship with them can benefit us. But all of those supposed advantages are nothing compared to the privilege that you and I have of being co-workers with Christ. If you and I could grasp this perspective, it would change the way we live every day. If you take the final verses of chapter 5 and connect them with verse 1 of our text, it's powerful. Verse 19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world, and He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ, but it is God entreating through us. So God wants to use you and me as a channel through which the message of reconciliation is proclaimed to the world. When we experience reconciliation with God personally, we have a desire to share that message of hope and joy and peace with others. If we don't have that desire, then we must seriously consider the reality of our relationship with Him. Paul always retained sight of the privilege of proclaiming the message of reconciliation. God was working through him for His glory. That's God's glory. So Paul worked diligently regardless of the response of the people. I base that on what he wrote in verses 15 and 16 in chapter 2. He said, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. You know, you and I can't control how people respond to the message, but we can proclaim the message faithfully. The transformation is up to God and His Holy Spirit and to how people respond to the message that we give. But we must understand the perspective of privilege, the privilege to work with God in reconciling people to Himself.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this first part on the paradox of ministry. At the beginning, he explained what a paradox is. I like the short definition. It's a statement that seems contradictory, but is often true. The example he used from the Bible helped us understand what a paradox is. Then he shared the first perspective, the perspective of privilege. This perspective helps us understand the paradox of ministry. There are three more perspectives coming, and you will have to join us the next 2 weeks to hear all four. Lord willing, you can join us next week for the next perspective. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear it again, please contact us and ask for it by title. Here is how you can reach us. The best way is via email, and our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can connect with us on our website, which is heraldsofhope.org. And of course, it's always possible to write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us however is easiest for you. Thanks again for listening to Hope for Today. Be sure to join us next week for the second part of the paradox of ministry. Till then, go and live out the paradox Jesus gave to all of us. His word hid a desire in many people. Our desire to be great. But he flips it on its head and says we must do the opposite. Here it is. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant.